WBAI New York and on the internet at WBAI.org. It is 5 o'clock. The program you just heard, Labrish with Haptah Selassie, will return next week following the work of the Midnight Ravers. And stay tuned for Back of the Book.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the Feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. Well, okay, okay, we went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
It should be about 5 a.m., and you're listening to All We're Not Shut Down Yet Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Goddamn morning, how the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
Indeed. And we're going to talk about various things on this program, and you can find out a little bit more by going up to my website at glib.com. That's glib.com. And when you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame on the left-hand side of your screen. At the top of that, it will say latest back-of-the-book program links. Click on that, and you will get to the webpage for this morning's radio program. And the WBAI website and the archives seem to be functioning. This is our 60th pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. And getting to the big main story of the past fortnight, since we were, in fact, not on the air last week. We were preempted for a fundraising special, so we haven't been on for a fortnight. Yes, the big news for the past fortnight is we are still holding it. 115 followers on Twitter. Oh, it's so tremendous. We know. The next public WBAI local station board meeting is scheduled to be held on Wednesday, October 13th, 2021 at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. And there's still an election going on. There's an election going on for local station board, and the voting ends October 15th. So hurry up and vote. I mean, I can only say that you should start doing your research and figure out who would be best for you to vote for. There are some crazy people running. There are some people who would do some negative things. And if you haven't gotten your ballot yet or anything like that and you figure you're a member, go to elections.pacifica.org and look around up there. You can find ways of contacting the National Election Supervisor and stuff like that so you can get a ballot if you haven't gotten a ballot yet. And again, be careful of whom you vote for. According to the Johns Hopkins website, COVID-19 cases in the whole world reached 234,023,858 on Friday, and global deaths reached 4,788,096. In America, the number of cases as of Friday was 43,519,298. And the death toll in America was 698,992. So, 27,157 people have died of COVID-19 in America since our last program 2 weeks ago. That's an average of 13,578 per week. That's slightly down from the rates we had been seeing. And the infection and death rates are reported to be generally lower, but we're still in the territory that we were in some months ago when it was really terrible and we didn't even have a vaccine yet. Those parts of the country with a lot of unvaccinated people are supplying the victims or the fuel for most of these deaths. Intensive care unit beds in those areas are still somewhere between hard and impossible to find, even after in some places they've greatly expanded their intensive care unit capacity. By the time this program airs on Saturday morning, all of those figures we quoted will be higher, of course, and given that the rate of death is not that far from 2,000 a day, I suspect that by the time you hear this on Saturday morning, the death toll in America, the official death toll in America, will have topped 700,000. And again, these numbers are not real. These numbers are lower than the reality. The reality is worse because of various reasons, and some people in some places are busy for political reasons, saying people died of something else when they died of COVID-19. So, yeah, it'll be 700,000, but it may be closer to 1 million by the time you hear this. And this was all mostly preventable. People like Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida continue to be responsible for more sickness and death. What a legacy this guy's gonna have. And we've had more instances of people denouncing the vaccines and mask wearing and then dying of COVID-19 this past week. And we've also had anti-vaxxers and anti-maxxers disrupting all sorts of meetings. Some school boards have asked the federal government to send people in to protect them. One guy quit his position on one of these boards because of threats from some of the anti-vaxxer and anti-masker people. These people are nuts. The Asthma Allergy Foundation of America is sounding the alarm on a, quote, concerning and dangerous, unquote, trend that is currently showing up on social media. Apparently, idiots on Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok have been, quote, breathing in hydrogen peroxide through nebulizers to try to prevent or treat COVID-19, unquote. Stupid! Last week, the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America said, quote, this is dangerous, unquote. Well, yeah, that's sort of what I was saying differently. The Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America also says that, of course, hydrogen peroxide can, quote, cause tissue damage if you swallow it or breathe it in. Household hydrogen peroxide, the chemical formula for it is H2O2, is about a 3% solution, and it can cause respiratory irritation. While inhalation of vapors from concentrated hydrogen peroxide, higher than 10% solutions, may result in, quote, severe pulmonary irritation, unquote. Yeah, of course. Hydrogen peroxide is used for bleaching things, thus the peroxide blonde, as we've heard it mentioned. This harkens back to the very early days of the pandemic in 2020, when that uneducated moron Trump was asking at a press conference about injecting people with bleach to cure COVID-19. Oh, man. So now some of these other idiots are using something that is bleach-like, that is a bleach, to try and put it in their lungs. That can kill you. That can really kill you pretty rapidly.
Well, I think that hydrogen peroxide was one of the main ingredients in the home perms that my mom used to give me when I was a little child.
Oh, my.
And it smelled really, really bad, and it made you feel kind of sick, but, you know, it made your hair curly. Also, I'm wondering, we have some neighbors who are not getting vaccinated and somehow got a doctor to prescribe them ivermectin. So now I wonder, are they going to switch from taking that, which they assured me is not the kind for the horsey, it's the kind for people. What an unethical doctor that was to do that. Are they going to switch to hydrogen peroxide? I mean, hey.
I don't know. I guess it depends on what they're told by their great religious leaders. Morons who probably never took a grammar school science class but are telling people what to do.
Or never had a home perm.
Yes, well, I think that would be it. Certainly, I think those guys didn't get any home perms. Although sometimes it looked... Well, anyway, huffing hydrogen peroxide. Yummy, yummy. A new drug to add to the, Gruff the crime dog? Yeah. Yes, kids, don't huff paint. While you're at it, don't puff hydrogen peroxide, which is like really goes right to the heart of the matter. Anyway, there you go. In other news of this sort, YouTube is banning a lot of anti-vaxxer accounts and removing lots of the crazy anti-vaccine videos. So that's probably a good thing because people are spreading disinformation and this kind of thing affects other people and it's going to kill people to follow some of this insanity. So, yeah, YouTube is saying, oh, maybe we'll try to be a little bit responsible here. Meanwhile, a nurse named Bethann Kirsack has been arrested for allegedly stealing authentic COVID-19 vaccination cards from a Veterans Administration hospital in Michigan and selling them online for between $150 and $200 each, according to the Justice Department. Ms. Kirsack also used vaccine lot numbers from legitimate cards to make fraudulent ones appear legitimate. So she knows how to do these things. She's a nurse in the VA hospital. She knows what the cards should look like, what data they should have on them. And so she's filling them out partially, and people buy them. And she's formally charged with theft of government property and theft or embezzlement related to a health care benefit program. Another person in the Detroit area, 32-year-old Raphael Smiley, is accused of ordering fake coronavirus vaccine cards from China and selling them on Facebook and Instagram. This kind of stuff is not good. People are trying to scam others. People will try to do that sort of thing for a quick buck no matter what's going on, you know? People stink. We have a segment we've done in the past called People Stink. And maybe we should gather this and some others together and do yet another People Stink segment in the future. But geez. And by the way, some of those fake vaccine cards from the so-called People's Republic of China, boy, they're really screwed up. And it's easy to look at them and say, oh, yeah, this is screwed up. Because what they do is they copy the CDC logo. That's just a machine thing, and it just happens. But then they type in the lettering, and their English isn't always very good, and they misspell things, and they just get things completely wrong. And anybody actually looking at it would say, wait a minute, this looks fishy to me. But anyway, that's what's going on there, and people are selling these things, and, you know, that way they get to get into various venues that require that you be vaccinated, where they can then spread disease. Oh, man. As we've pointed out in the past, it has been found that an unvaccinated person who's surrounded by vaccinated people is much safer against getting infected with COVID-19 than a vaccinated person who's surrounded by unvaccinated people simply because of the miasma of virus particles that are in the air from those other people, because they're going to have a lot of them. Whereas even if you have something, if you're vaccinated, you're going to put out the viral load you're putting out on the world is a lot lower. Anti-vaxxers have all sorts of excuses for not getting the vaccines. What they're going for instead these days is getting sick and in the hospital demanding treatment with monoclonal antibodies. Monoclonal antibodies are also new, and treatment with them costs about $2,100, while a shot of the vaccine costs about $20. Also, the shot takes minutes for everything. That includes writing stuff down, filling out the card and doing all the bureaucratic stuff. The actual shot, of course, takes maybe 10 or 15 seconds at most. But the monoclonal antibody shots take hours. It takes hours to infuse all that into you, and it involves a bunch of hospital personnel. Not like, you know, one person and they walk away. It involves a whole bunch of hospital personnel, and of course, you're in the hospital, you're being treated, you are sick, and so it's a lot bigger deal than the vaccine, just getting a shot, besides the fact that it costs like... what is this? Over 100 times more. Cost more than 100. Cost 105 times more for a monoclonal antibody treatment than it does to just get a vaccination. Crap. Anyway, it's so irrational to go for the more expensive treatment that's just as new as the vaccines, and it takes much longer. And it has no guarantee that it's going to work. There's no guarantee that monoclonal antibodies will magically cure you of COVID-19 if you're suffering from it. And, you know, maybe a lot of them go for monoclonal antibodies because their great leader Trump had this and many other expensive things done for him when he got COVID-19. And there's no guarantee that the monoclonal antibody treatment will work on someone who's gotten sick enough to be hospitalized. So, again, irrationality here. People are saying, oh, the vaccine, it's unproven, it's new, it's, you know, something, it's all this technical stuff is done to it, and they have all these excuses they lay onto the vaccine. The monoclonal antibody treatment is as new, it's far more complicated, and it's not necessarily going to get there in time. If you get a vaccination, they don't give you a vaccination if you're already sick. If, you know, as we know from people begging for, you know, the anti-vaxxers who've been dying of COVID-19 in the hospital, and they start begging for a shot of the vaccine, and they're told, sorry, it's too late. And, you know, this is just crazy stuff. People are behaving so irrationally in so many different ways, and it's completely tragic. Speaking of treatments, by the way, the drug company Merck said Friday that its experimental COVID-19 pill reduced hospitalizations and deaths by half in people recently infected with the coronavirus, and that it would soon ask health officials in the U.S. and around the world to authorize its use. Merck and its partner Ridgeback Biotherapeutics said early results showed patients who received the drug called, I hope I get this right, Molnupiravir. I've tried that, and every time I try it, I kind of get it a little bit differently. But Molnupiravir, if they get this drug within 5 days of developing COVID-19 symptoms, they had about half the rate of hospitalization and death as patients who received a placebo pill. The study tracked 775 adults with mild to moderate COVID-19 infections who were considered higher risk for severe disease due to health problems such as obesity, diabetes, or heart disease. This new pill works by interfering with an enzyme that the SARS-CoV-2 virus uses to copy its genetic code and replicate itself. It has shown similar activity against other viruses. The U.S. government has committed to purchase 1.7 million doses of the drug if it is authorized by the FDA. Among patients taking this drug, Molnupiravir, I'm going to get that wrong every time, 7.3% were either hospitalized or died at the end of 30 days, compared with 14.1% of those getting the placebo pill. There were no deaths in the drug group after the time period, compared with 8 deaths in the placebo group, according to Merck. Now, this is, you know, that's a much higher death rate than you get with the vaccine, I have to say, first of all. And you also need to get it within 5 days of developing symptoms, which means either you're going to be running to the hospital to try and get this stuff. By the way, it's not, you can't get it yet. But when it is available, you're either going to be running to the hospital when you get a case of the sniffles, and, you know, you'll get various indications. Oh, I got something wrong with me. I better run to the hospital and get this unpronounceable drug. Well, unpronounceable for me, I suppose. And if you're doing that, you know, you're going to be taxing the hospitals a lot. And you're also going to run the risk of eventually saying, oh, it's just another cold. And then 6 days later, you go in and they say, sorry, too many days. You can't get it now. Come on over here and we'll hook you up to the respirator, put you on your belly so your lungs open up, and cross your fingers because that's all you got left now, pal. And because, hey, we aren't going to spring for monoclonal antibodies for you. And besides which, the monoclonal antibodies treatment is using up all the monoclonal antibodies stuff. I mean, they don't have an infinite amount of this stuff, and they're trying to figure out to whom they should give it because people are dying, and they have a whole bunch of people who are dying, and they've got a certain amount of this of monoclonal antibody stuff, and hell, you know, what are they going to do? I suppose the pill will be much easier to do because they can just crank those out by the millions. I mean, as I said, the government is committed to buying 1.7 million doses. And the thing is, I mean, there are a lot more unvaccinated people than that. And the thing is that people are going to assume in some areas, they're going to assume they can get that monoclonal antibody treatment. And they may not be able to. The hospital may have used up all its monoclonal antibody treatments on other people. Or maybe they're going to do a triage and say, maybe you're just too sick and we don't think you'll benefit for this, so die. That could happen. That's one of the things that happens in hospitals. You decide, treat this one, don't treat that one. Whom do you treat? You know, you got one treatment. You got one monoclonal antibody treatment. It's a package of some sort, I suppose. And you got one package of this stuff. Two people are in bad shape and they need it. They're gonna die. Well, you look at them and you say, who's more likely to come through this? And you give it to that person. The other person, you say, good luck. So yeah, this is very bad stuff, and oh my, it's just awful things going on here. And then, of course, we have people wanting various exemptions, and one of the worst things I'm seeing is the so-called religious exemptions. Yes, it's in the Bible. I don't have to get a vaccination. So religious exemptions are happening. And as far as I can tell, Catholics sure can't claim them. The Vatican City State said on Tuesday that it would soon begin requiring all employees, including the highest members of the Catholic Church, to show proof of vaccination or of a recent negative coronavirus test. I'll point out, by the way, that the Pope has gotten vaccinated. He had no problem. He said, stick that thing in me, baby, which is something other popes have said about other activities, but probably not this guy. And he's not flexible enough. And so those without the proper certificates, the Vatican has said, will be considered, quote, unjustly absent, unquote, and will be paid no salary. If you work for the Vatican, it's like going to Catholic school. You are unjustly absent, and something will happen to you. They'll take you in the back room and beat the crap out of you, or they'll do something to you. You won't like it when you're, you know, just absent playing hooky. Playing hooky from Catholic school can really be bad for your health. And also, of course, playing hooky from your job at the Vatican City is the same thing. So, geez, those various cardinals and other sky pilots are all going to have to get vaccinated. And since it's good for the Vatican, I should think it's going to be good for the various Catholic Church religious orders outside the Vatican. So, yeah, I think we're going to see a thing of people saying, wait a minute, you're Catholic? You can't get a religious exemption. So there you go. And, of course, the Catholic Church has in its Bible the Book of Revelations, whereas some Protestant sects don't have the Book of Revelations. They edit their own Bibles. They don't have the Book of Revelations because it's all full of Catholic stuff, symbology and all that noise.
Pickles here. I just wanted to also point out that Catholics don't read the Bible. They are not encouraged to read the Bible, and they certainly never read that book. That revealing book. They don't read that at all, you know. Also, the rates of fully vaccinated Catholics worldwide is very high. So, and this predates this missive coming out from Vatican City. So,
in some good news, the virus tracking website Outbreak.info said that the Mu variant of COVID-19 did not account for any new cases of COVID-19 in the United States in the past week. So it's looking like that variant has been wiped out in the United States. Now, scientists had been very concerned about the Mu variant because they thought it would be vaccine resistant and even more transmissible than the Delta variant, which is the dominant variant in the United States. I think it's the dominant variant in the world right now. And it's, again, it's more infectious than chickenpox, and it's more likely to kill you and kill you faster. So you may not get that 5-day window in which you can take the Merck pill. Anyway, the Mu variant is not being a big deal here. A Japanese study has also shown, by the way, that the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine gives substantial protection against the Mu variant. So it's not able to punch through the vaccination as it had originally been thought. And now the Mu variant is down to causing under 1% of the infections globally, according to the World Health Organization. So that's some good news. It was looking like the Mu variant was going to be this scary thing. And instead, it turns out it's heading down. It's not that big a bleeping deal. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. And you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. And now we're going to do a little science stuff. We do science stuff on this program. To some degree, of course, the COVID-19 stuff is science stuff. But here's some other science stuff. And a little bit of astrophysics, and we're going to talk about supernovas. And, yeah, there are various types of supernovas, and there have been two classifications, type 1 and type 2. Gee, we can count. Well, looks like there's going to be a type 3 really soon here, or maybe it is officially done already. At some point, they have to officially say, yeah, that we have something called a type 3 supernova. And a type 2 supernova is the first type that was discovered. And with a type 2 supernova, it's also called a core collapsed supernova, a star basically collapses on itself. What happens is a star, the sun is one of them, will burn, so to speak, hydrogen. And the way it burns it isn't oxidizing it. It's a thermonuclear reaction. It's fusion. The hydrogen is being fused into helium, and that releases significant amounts of energy, especially since you're doing many tons of hydrogen per second into helium, which yields a gigantic amount of energy and which powers the sun. And so what happens is that stars make, they start out making helium, and then they go on. Now, some stars are heavier than the sun, and the sun will create helium, and then it will go a little further, and that's it. It's stopping. The sun will not go anywhere after that. The sun is too small to become a supernova. It'll become a nova and spit out material, but it will not become a supernova, which is a humongous explosion. And some stars go beyond creating helium, and the general list is the stars create helium from hydrogen, and then they create lithium, and then from that they create carbon, and then they create neon, and then oxygen and silicon. So those are elements that have all come out of stars. Of course, they don't come much out of a star like the sun, because as I said, the sun will become a nova and it will spit out some of its material, but not most of it. And so bigger stars will produce more stuff. And a bigger star keeps going until it starts making iron. And all of these reactions we've talked about, turning hydrogen into helium and then going to lithium, blah, 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 all the way up to silicon and stuff like that, that releases energy. However, when the star starts to create iron, the opposite happens. It absorbs energy. And so what happens in a star, which is at least 10 times the mass of the sun, it runs out of fuel because it's not making energy anymore. It's doing the opposite, and it collapses. Collapses extremely rapidly because a star that's 10 times the mass of the sun, the gravity pushing to the center of that star is really tremendous. And so the whole thing collapses and it blows up and it leaves behind either a neutron star or a black hole. Now, there's another type of supernova, and this is called a type 1 because the supernovas they discovered first and figured out first, well, they had to call those type 2s. And type 1 supernovas, that happens when the remnants of a star that's around the size of the sun, they start getting old and they build up. And as I said, they get to a point where they get the hydrogen fused into helium and they can't go much past that. And it, they stop. I think they will. Some of them will make a little bit of lithium or something in there, but not much of that. And so the star just becomes a white hot object. There's no longer any nuclear exchanges going on in the center. And so it sits there. And that's what will happen to the sun. However, most stars are binaries. And so a star like the sun, that is a binary, which is two stars that are gravitationally rotating around, revolving around each other. two stars will be there, and one of them will be like the sun, and eventually it will become a white dwarf star, that white hot thing that isn't doing any nuclear stuff in the center anymore. And that star will just keep orbiting, but the other star may be close enough and may be big enough that some of the material from that other star, the bigger star, is being siphoned off by the gravity of the white dwarf star. The white dwarf star has pretty tremendous gravity because it's very compressed. And if it's close enough to the other star, it's really going to take material from it. Well, material keeps falling onto the white dwarf star, and eventually it hits what's called the Chandrasekhar limit, which means at some point the white dwarf star reaches a mass of 1.4 times the mass of the sun, at which point it compresses a bit more and you get something called carbon detonation. Carbon is formed at the center of that white dwarf star, and it is all getting crushed by the gravitation, squeezing all the material in it, and it explodes. And since the white dwarf star isn't that big, it can't contain that. And so instead of burning, you know, we use the word burning metaphorically, instead of burning the carbon explodes, it detonates, and it blows up. And that's a type 1 supernova, or generally a type 1A supernova is the main thing they do. Well, those are the two types of supernovas that they've been observing. But they've been looking at things since the 80s. And saying, you know, we think, theoretically, there should be another kind of supernova. And this is in stars that have a mass range between 8 and 10 solar masses. Again, 10 solar masses and above, type 2 supernova. 8 and below, pretty much, you know, somewhere below 8, it's going to come down to a white dwarf eventually. But what is the 8 to 10 range? What happens there? And they had a theory. And the theory has come about. They've observed stuff. In those stars that have a mass range of 8 to 10 solar masses, you can get what's now called an electron capture supernova. And that occurs only if they're 8 to 10 solar masses. And before it can run out of fuel completely, magnesium and neon atoms that are created in the core of the star, they begin capturing free-floating electrons that are in the star. And before anything else happens, the magnesium and neon nuclei in there start capturing electrons. Now, they don't form an atom. They start just grabbing the electrons and it fuses with them. The reason why the stars don't collapse instantly is because like charges repel. If you have two things that have a negative charge, they're going to repel each other. Electrons have a negative charge. And so they're contributing a lot to keeping everything apart. And when the neon and magnesium start sucking up a lot of these electrons, you have far fewer of them, and it can't resist the gravity as well. And so when enough electrons get sucked up, the star can't keep itself from collapsing anymore from its own gravity, because it's always a fight between the electromagnetic force of those electrons and everything that's in the star and the gravitational force. Well, we'll call it a force for now. And you know, those two things fight, and because of them, that's why the star fuses everything. But eventually, if it doesn't have enough electrons, it collapses. And so it collapses the way other stars collapse, and it explodes as a type 3 supernova. This had been theoretical for, you know, since the 80s. Well, astronomers have confirmed the observation of such a supernova. Supernova SN 2018 ZD was spotted in the galaxy NGC 2146. You know that one, don't you? It was spotted in March of 2018 by Japanese amateur astronomer Koichi Itagaki, and the results ended up in a paper. And so they have now confirmed that this Type 3 supernova really does happen. And this is how it happens. And they're going to look at other supernovas and see, are there other ones that have done this that have been called either Type 1 or Type 2? Right now, the thinking is that the supernova that was visible on Earth in the year 1054, and which created the Crab Nebula, was an electron capture supernova. And they've got a second example, and a very historical second example at that. So, yeah, this is interesting new stuff. It's interesting to me. I hope it's interesting to you. But gee whiz, there we go. The Crab Nebula may be the result of one of these rather exotic supernovas. And that right-wing rally in Washington, D.C. a couple of weekends ago, that happened. They were really ready for them this time. They had the National Guard. They had fences. They were ready for them. However, not many of the right-wing nuts showed up anyway. They had, you know, hundreds of them there who didn't try to do anything. And the whole rally was about, release the political prisoners. Yeah, my ass, lock those people up. More than 600 of those scumbags have been charged. Some of them are pleading guilty already. Some of them are not and are facing multiple decades in prison, which I hope they get. So, yeah, that sort of thing is going on, and I'm glad that the right wing wasn't able to do anything more in Washington, D.C. And in other political news, Liz Cheney now supports same-gender marriage, she says. And she's no longer quite as on the outs with her sister as she used to be, since her sister is married to a woman. Yeah. Former Vice President Cheney. She's the daughter of former Vice President Cheney. And she also voted to impeach Trump. And she's also been thrown out of a leadership position in the Republican Senate. So, oh well. Well, it's good that she's come around somewhat in that way. And I'm glad that happened. And as announced, we're not shutting down. Yes, the United States government is not shutting down, and things aren't going to get quite as chaotic as they could have. As we're preparing this radio program, the Senate has passed the motion that prevents the government shutdown by a 65-35 vote shortly before 2 o'clock this afternoon, which is yesterday afternoon to you, if you're listening on Saturday morning. And the House voted 254-175 in a vote less than 2 hours later, and the bill has been sent to the president's desk hours ahead of midnight. And yeah, midnight, if they hadn't had this thing by midnight, the government would have shut down, but it's now not going to. As we speak, we don't know if President Biden has signed it, but I'm sure he will pretty rapidly. And then, of course, you've got all this stuff of the other things going on October 18th. If the debt limit isn't raised, the United States will default, and that will cause unbelievable problems. On the other hand, I'm sure there are some people who are betting on it happening and who are making financial arrangements to make money if the government defaults, because anytime anything financial happens, there's always a way to make money off it, and some people will. And I don't know. I don't know who might do that, like, you know, Republicans. And, you know, but some people might. But we also have the infrastructure stuff, and we've got the Democratic Party is getting torn apart on this because the Republicans are saying, we're not going to vote for any of this stuff. And the Democratic Party is all back and forth here because the so-called progressive group of the party says you got to do the $3.5 trillion one. That's it. Or we don't support anything else. And then you've got Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia, who says he won't go above $1.5 trillion because he wants to look like he's this fiscal conservative, I suppose. And then you've got this other idiot, Senator Kirsten, whatever, Sinema of Arizona. She won't say what. Why are you against it? I'm not going to tell you. You know, is there some way we could make a deal? I'm not going to tell you. And this is what's going on. Hey, wait a minute. Doesn't she understand that if she's going to be a scumbag and do bargaining, you know, the way Manchin is doing, you got to tell people what it is you want. They cannot read your tiny, feeble mind, Senator Sinema. So these two idiots are going to make it so that nothing is going to get passed. And so, yeah, it can go through the House, but it ain't going to go through the Senate. And that is going to be a big bleeping deal. You know, the default is the biggest worst thing. The other stuff with infrastructure, is it would be very good if that would pass. I would like to see the $3.5 trillion one pass too. But I would also like to see at least roads and bridges not collapse as much as they've been doing. So, gee whiz, we do wish they would, you know, smarten up and at least reach some kind of a compromise on this. So you got the right wing of the Democratic Party and the left wing of the Democratic Party conspiring to sink anything the Democratic Party may do in Congress, and maybe also endanger people running as Democrats in the midterm elections, which come up in a year. Oh. And in the so-called People's Republic of China, they will reportedly ban video games that don't promote, quote, correct values, unquote, and, quote, accurate understanding, unquote, of the country's history and culture. And somebody leaked an internal document that is showing this particular demand, this dictate from the communist dictators. And this thing includes a ban on any portrayal of, quote, effeminate males, unquote. Oh, my godlessness. Have they ever seen some of the emperors of China? But so what does that mean? Gee whiz, is they're not going to allow anybody to put Oscar Wilde in any kind of entertainment or in a video game, I guess, or something like that. I guess any kind of RuPaul's drag thing, it would be out for them. And gee whiz, the promotion, they also say the promotion of same-sex relationships is also banned in video games because the government, yes, the Chinese Communist Party, has decided they're going to get into video games. God. They don't want the promotion of same-sex relationships, and they're banning characters who have no, quote, clear gender, unquote. So if you look a little bit, gee, could this be, you know, this or that, the old Saturday Night Live skit with Pat. And is Pat male or female is the whole thing. And, you know, you can go either way. And so, yeah, I guess they would really not like that. But, Jesus Christ, no clear gender. So what, do you have to whip it out or something? Anyway, according to the memo, developers are instructed to treat video gaming as a new form of art. One that's no longer apolitical, quote, pure entertainment, unquote. And also this dictate says, quote, if regulators can't tell the character's gender immediately, the setting of the characters could be considered problematic and red flags will be raised, unquote. Well, I guess they got a lot of red flags in the Chinese Communist Party. And it says male game characters who wear female clothing could also pose a problem for regulators. So they're regulating computer games, video games in the so-called People's Republic of China, and it's all homophobic crap.
Well, you know that homosexuality is a sickness of capitalism, R. Paul.
Oh, yeah, I remember that old one. Jesus.
Well, that's part of their Bible, as it were, in communist China.
And other communist places, including, that was one of the reasons why the gay liberation movement worked so well. you know, as far as it worked, was because the commies wouldn't touch us with a stick. Oh, you can't go over there and do that. That's bourgeois and capitalistic disease, homosexuality. So they wouldn't try to invade us so much. Here and there, you get some fringe group that would show up and try, but we'd say, get lost, you stupid commies. And, you know, so we were not invaded by the Communist Party USA. And we would have demos and stuff like that, which usually would attract the CPUSA and satellites to come and try and infiltrate and co-opt, but they wouldn't touch us. So, yeah, that communist homophobia is something that really helped the gay liberation movement in the past. Oh, and that's been it for Back of the Book for this week. Okay, we will be back here next week. Coming up next is...
the Ralph Nader Radio Hour. And after that, Hour of the Wolf with Jim Freund.
With all sorts of science fiction stuff. Take care of yourself. Enjoy what autumn you can, you know. Yeah, the sun is setting too soon, but that's life. But try to enjoy it. For those of you who like the cooler weather, well, now you got it. And above all, remember what that... so very glad he's vaccinated, Dormouse said.
Story about your time at WBAI so I can let people know that you, in fact, have returned from retirement.
I retired because I was tired, but I found retirement more tiring than coming to BAI. BAI can be exhausting. Trump's there, and you have to, you know, you have to yak about it. And if you're sitting at home, you're just shouting to the walls. When you have a program at WBAI, you can alert them about Donald Trump.
That's David Rothenberg. Tune in to any Saturday mornings from 8 to 10.
This is a well-oiled promotion, please. I can't keep
quiet. What's happening in Texas is not only a local issue or a women's issue, it's a step against democracy.
When you heard about the vigilante, bounty-hunting, fascist abortion ban in Texas, and then learn that the Supreme Court is hearing a case that could overturn abortion protections nationally on December 1st? Did you feel like this, listener?
We need to take to the streets. We need to shut this country down.
That's exactly why people are taking to the streets this Saturday, October 2nd. 11 a.m. at Freedom Plaza in Washington, D.C. and 2 p.m. at Foley Square in New York City. And here on WBAI and WPFW, we'll be bringing you the sounds of these streets live from noon to 2. Fetuses are not babies. Abortion is not murder. And women are not incubators.
Hard work is how we support ourselves and our families. The jobs we do are a big part of who we are, and our jobs keep America going, yet the job site is where we have the least power. Many of us voiceless as corporations gamble away our health and our family's future just to feed their greed. It's time for the working class majority, for you and me, to regain our voices, to turn up the volume, assert our collective power, and to organize. Join me, Rick Smith, every Saturday night from 6 to 8 p.m. right here on WBAI 99.5 New York as we bring the class war and fight for a better future. The Rick Smith Show, every Saturday night, 6 to 8 p.m. right here on WBAI 99.5 New York's listener-supported radio. For more information, visit WBAI.org.